Now then, the mummification that I saw in Egypt, I don't know whether the Egyptians taught the Israelis to do that or the Israelis taught the Egyptians to do that, but probably the Israelis taught the Egyptians how to do that more than likely when they were there. And they learned how to embalm because they were doing that in the New Testament. And so when somebody died, especially somebody special, they would take them and take all these strips of linen and all this myrrh and aloe, mix it together, and after they wrap your body with it, it becomes a nice, hard, firm thing. And those cocoons that those people were wrapped in, I saw mummies in the Museum of Science in Cairo when I was there that were 5,000 years old that were still completely, perfectly intact. There had been a human body inside that. And obviously, what was left of the human body was still in there. So we've known how to do this forever. But Jesus said, you shall make no idols, nor no graven images. I had one woman tell me one time, she found the most beautiful picture of Jesus in a store. And she thought, this is beautiful, awesome. She bought it. And she hung it on her wall, right in the foyer of her home when she come in, so that when she opened the door and walked in, she's looking right at this picture of Jesus. And she said, I got to where I just opened that door and I'd stand there and look at that. And then I finally got to thinking about what he did for me on the cross. And she said, I just sat there and tears run out of my eyes as I looked at that beautiful picture of my Savior. She said, one day I was sitting there looking at that, meditating on him and thinking how beautiful he was. And all of a sudden I heard a voice. If you keep looking at that picture, you're not going to know who I am when I come. So she took the picture down and burned it. Did the king tell her not to have no pictures? So why do people have pictures of Jesus? There ain't no pictures of Jesus. Nobody has a picture of Jesus. Is there any stone idols of Jesus? No. It's somebody's idea of what this is. And if we had one, if there had been one stonemason that had took Jesus out there one day and had him set on a rock and had carved out his picture in detail, there would be men that would kill for that thing today. It ain't the love of God that would be in their heart. They would kill for a stupid stone, which is not the king. I tell you what, the king, you don't have to go far to find him. He's right here. He's right in you. You don't have to go far to find the king. You don't have to bow down to some idol. All you got to do is bow down in your closet and start talking to him. He's there. When Cheryl and I was out there in Hobbs and when we prayed over all the people and all the different people that got miraculously, instantly healed. It was amazing how many people that pain was in their body and nearly every one of them had some kind of unforgiveness. And when they forgave, the pain went away. They just couldn't believe this. But it happened. Now, where was Jesus there? He was right there. He was walking among us. I mean, only God can do those kind of things. But I know He was there. And that's what broke my heart, because this precious little thing on the front row that I prayed for that didn't go away healed. Oh, Lord, I wanted to see that little girl healed. Oh, but I'm going to get there someday, somehow. I don't know what I've got to do, but I'm going to get there. But it says, you shall make no idols nor graven images, neither rear up a standing image, neither shall you set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Verse 3 and 4. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then will I give you rain in due season. I won't give you a flood that'll flood the Mississippi River and wipe out a town. He didn't say that, did he? I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, not wash it away. I think I heard them say, somebody say that about 5 million acres of corn washed away. You know, I'm going to tell you, before this is over, we're going to have a famine in America. Amen. You know, something else I thought was strange, you know, this additive that we get from corn that we put in fuel, ethanol. Do you know, I read a report the other day, you know how much gasoline and diesel fuel it takes to make 1 gallon of ethanol? a gallon and a half. It takes a gallon and a half of diesel in a tractor, in the trucks, in the equipment to sow and harvest. A gallon and a half is a confirmed fact to produce 1 gallon of ethanol. So why not make the ethanol, use the fuel to make food and not to make gasoline? Because if you're going to use a gallon and a half of gasoline to make a gallon of gasoline, I mean, I'm not a rocket scientist, but that don't compute in my head. Isn't that something? Yeah, it's stupid, isn't it, Tom? That'd just be like, how many of y'all, if I said right now, if you'll give me $150, I'll give you $100 back. That's a good deal. And everybody, Jack, he's a businessman. He says, for you. Okay, so everybody comes running down here and says, man, this is a great deal. I'm going to give Thurman $150 and he's going to give me $100 back. Boy, didn't I get a good deal? Somebody said, what's wrong with you? You dummy? Is that right? Hey, that don't make no sense to me at all. Now then, if you give me $100 and I give you $150 back, everybody would be down here getting $150. But I'd run out of money real quick. It wouldn't take very many till I didn't have none left. But he says, if you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then will I give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. Now, who's going to be in control of all this? God. Yeah, absolutely. Next two verses. Okay. And your threshing shall reach unto the vintage, and the vintage shall reach unto the sowing time, and you shall eat your bread to the full and dwell in your land safely. Now, here we're going to sow and reap, and the grapes are going to continue to get ripe and everything all the way from sowing to reaping. There's going to be fresh fruit and vegetables, and you're going to have so much stuff you ain't even going to know what to do with it all. All God says is keep His commandments. And then I will give you peace in the land. Oh, we got peace in the land. We don't have any problems nowhere. We never have a man and a woman in the church or anywhere else ever get knocked down, dragged out, have a divorce or nothing. Everything's at peace in the land. I don't think so. It ain't even peace in the church, is it? No. That ought to tell us something. God says if we're obedient to do what He says, He'll give us peace in the land. Now then, if you're not at peace in your home with your mate and your children, you're not in obedience to God's Word. If you're not walking in peace, if God has not brought that peace in your home, either you got a problem, your wife's got a problem, or probably both of you got a problem. If something's wrong, and it's always the man and the woman that causes a problem between the children. So, if we're not walking wholly in obedience to God's Word, and I don't understand why people don't understand this, when they go out and they run around as young people, and go out and commit fornication and adultery and all these things, whether they bring a child into the world or not, it don't make any difference. And then maybe years later they get married, or maybe months later they get married, and then maybe they do get pregnant, or maybe they were pregnant in the beginning. But then when their children grow up, their children go out and are little rebellious devils, and you can't get them to do nothing right. They're running around. They're getting jailed. Everything, it all comes back to your disobedience. That's why it happened. God said, if you obey my commandments and keep them, there will be peace in your land. There'll be peace in your home. But see, we don't believe this today. We just don't believe. We do not know God. We don't know how He works. There's only one way to know who God is and what He will do, and it's right here in this book. When you read this, this is God. This is how He works. He says, and I will give you peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. Well, now, what did He tell us in the New Testament? If you live in perfect love, what does He say about fear? It goes away. Perfect love casts out all fear. So, see, it's the same in the New Testament. It is the old, right? You obey Him. He commands us under the new law to walk in love. Does He not? You walk in love, then there's no fear. But here He says, if you'll obey me and do what I say, then I'll give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid. And I, God, will rid evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land. In other words, there ain't going to be no bunch of Muslims come over here and kill us. But now what if we don't obey Him? There's going to be a bunch of Muslims come over here and going to run through this land and ravage it and kill you. There's 70 of those camps already alive and well in America right now of trained Muslims waiting for the command to kill you. 70 known Muslim camps. And we're thinking seriously about putting a Muslim in the presidency of the United States of America. We're thinking about putting a man in that will not pledge allegiance to the United States of America, will not pledge to the flag, will not look at the flag when they give an allegiance. When you take a man that's standing as a president, a presidential candidate of the United States of America, that will not look at the flag, that will not hold his hand or his heart, will not pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, I'm going to tell you, anybody that'll vote for a man like that, and you're a Christian, there's something wrong with you. It's time the church is separated out. It's time those that are men and women of God start obeying the King and do what He says. The only peace I can have about this is that the Word of God says no man comes into office except I put him there. That's all the peace I can have. I'm going to tell you what I know about these men. And this one, most churches won't say a word about this. But I tell you what, I'm not afraid of no man.
Amen.
I'm only afraid of God. I'm not afraid of man. I don't care what they do. All they can do to me is kill my flesh. And do you know there is a list, and it's already published, that when all this comes to pass and all this happens, FEMA already has a red and a blue list. It's already published. And I know some of the men that know about this, and I've talked with them. If you're on FEMA's red list, and all of the known pastors are on FEMA's red list, and those powerful pastors, the first thing they're going to do when they put you in these camps, there's already one in Denton. It's already alive and well and totally intact. And there's another one that they're building at Carswell Air Force Base right now in Fort Worth.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with a teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106, and we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.